this is Alley Cat, meow, and you're listening to Wrestling Cheers.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. That troubles are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name. You wanna go where you can see that troubles are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
And welcome back to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, even if you live in Tennessee. That's right, this is the first interview for Sup Month. You know, even though this is Wrestling Cheers, where we preview shows, review shows, and sometimes even have interviews from the Northeast Ohio independent wrestling scene, but this is going to be a little bit different for a couple episodes because, like I've said before, this is Sup Month, and we're going to be highlighting Southern Underground Pro from Tennessee, one of my favorite out-of-state promotions to watch on powerbomb.tv. So let's get into all that, but before we do, let's get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com, basically wherever you're listening to this fine podcast. We are available on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose a desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. We have a merch store over at WhatAManeuver.net, and we are brought to you by the Trending Topics Network, NEO Sports Insiders, and MidwestTerritory.com. So, like I said, this is the first interview for Sup Month, Southern Underground Pro in Tennessee. If you want to, if you haven't done it already, subscribe to powerbomb.tv and use the promo code SUPGRAPS. Normally, I'll promote Absolute, you know, AIW, Cleveland, but for Sup Month, we'll throw it out there. All one word, SUPGRAPS. And of course, if we're going to start this out, let's start off with the top, the very top, the champion, the Bone Storm champion. I'm talking about none other than Brett Ice. And Brett, how's it going today?
It's going, man. Can't complain.
Yeah, you had a show last night. Like, I'm catching you in the middle of a show. Actually, I think you don't have even a show today. This is a Saturday that we're recording, and you had a Primus last night. And what's tomorrow? Even though this will be way past for the listeners, but just give an idea. Yeah.
I've got Revive Pro Wrestling tomorrow out of McMinnville, Tennessee, where I'm wrestling B-Boy.
Okay. And he was on Primus, right?
Or he did? Yeah. Yeah. He wrestled Dom in the first round.
How'd that go?
It was great. The finish by the time it comes out, but the finish was Dom had him in a triangle choke, I believe, and Benny just bridged over him, caught him in the pin, 1-2-3.
And then who actually won Primus? Like, you had your first round opponent that was
Cashflow, and Cashflow actually went on to win.
I'd never seen Cashflow until I went down to PWF, and is he like a secret of that area? Because like the fans seem to like love him, and I was just like, I've heard of the name, but never the personality.
I believe he was a really big player in IWA.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaking, I've heard that he had hand in helping train Chris Hero.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, he's a great guy. I love being around him. Me and him, it was just an ass beater.
Oh, God.
Exactly what you would figure if you know Cash and then you know me.
You've had a couple.
It was just strike for strike.
I feel like you've had a couple matches like that. Well, like when they announced you versus Twan, Big Twan Tucker, I was already planning on coming down. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good match because Twan is just so young and he's getting everything out there. And I thought him going up against you was not necessarily a proving point for him, but it's just I like the clash of personalities.
Yeah, man, he's a good kid. He listened very well. He's a strong fucking boy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he tossed me around like it was nothing. And I'm 270 to 80 pounds, depending on the week. I fluctuate.
Yeah.
but, yeah, man, It was the only thing is he does. He was doing a lot. What younger guys do is they just go through the motions with no emotion.
Yeah.
And that's when it comes out. That's why you see me smack the piss out of him.
He's definitely like learning and everything. The thing that I've always loved about him is he's definitely one of those wrestlers that inside of the ring and outside of the ring, it's like almost two different people. When, you know, he walks through those curtains, it's a much more intense Big Twan. But when you catch him outside of the ring, very soft spoken and just, it seems like a different dude. And the thing that we've loved, at least in our area with him, is he's the dude that just gets into everybody's match. Like, I don't know if he has a jealous bone in his body when it comes to any other wrestlers. Like, he's just like, well, you're my dude. Like, if you're doing good, like, I'm happy for you and I'm going to be happy you got a great match or something like that. That's so awesome to see.
Oh yeah, man. Just watching him watch wrestling is entertaining. Cause the facials he does watching it, he needs to do in the ring. It's awesome.
He's done a little bit. Like, there's a sticker that was a picture that was turned into a sticker that we have of where Big Twan's getting stabbed or something in the head with by John Thorne. I forget exactly what it is, and you see that actual expression, like big eyes, big mouth. Oh my god! And I think that's why one of the fans, when he's seen the picture, he's like, "I'm gonna turn this into a sticker. We're gonna pass it out." And I think he ended up getting a handful, and he's starting to sell them at shows. I mean, that's something to see. But I'm really happy, especially when we see people from different territories make it different places. You know, when all my Cleveland guys, they make it down to Tennessee, to Indiana. And I think that also seeing it the opposite direction, seeing like people from Tennessee, you know, make it into other places. Like, you know, like if I can get a lot of people from SUP to come to Cleveland, I'd be extremely happy. And there's just like a list of like everybody from SUP that I'm just like, if we can get Cabana Man Dan here, we can get you here, we can get Slate Porter, like, I think they have a spot. It's just whether they get the opportunity to get booked.
All right, right. All in due time.
Yeah, I think that's one thing. It's kind of like half the reason why I'm doing this. I want people to know more about all these other wrestlers because you guys are popping off in different places, and there's a lot of cool shit going on. I think we're especially in just this really cool technological age where, you know, even though I'm from Cleveland, I can watch stuff immediately, well, almost immediately from Tennessee, from Indiana, from Georgia. And like, especially with some of the stuff that are somewhat tight knit together, like everything that's gone on with the Carnies lately and, you and O'Shea Edwards and all, like, there's like, I can watch all this stuff on Powerbomb and I can see the stuff even like on Twitter and YouTube. And even also I'll throw it out of promotion too, that, is being used a little bit more is Nova Pro. Like, that's, I don't think we would have had this about even 7 years ago. Like, I knew about maybe about People from Beyond and a couple other places, but now everything's readily available way more than ever.
Yeah, man, it's a good time in pro wrestling, not with just the whole streaming thing, you know, but I mean, the indies, it's thriving. And I mean, everybody getting picked up. There's way more opportunities for all the guys that you like, for me, for instance, like opportunities I feel like I wouldn't get, like if, I don't know, somebody around here got picked up, you know, I mean, that's just the extra spot that opens. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that Powerbomb and what High Spots and stuff, like they have all this available because I mean, you could literally just choose a random promotion on there that you've never heard of, and I guarantee you it's gonna be a 5-star like show.
Or even like being able the ability to just like finding a certain wrestler, like I could like look for other shows that have you on it or other shows that have Marco on it or Kevin Koo, and just like, okay, let me learn more about these dudes, let me see them in other matches, let me see them something they maybe did a year ago. And yeah, that definitely wasn't an easy thing. Like now I feel like whenever like, you know, new people come into AIW, we know a little bit more about them. Like recently AIW added, you know, KTB on a lot of shows and Wheeler Yuta. You know, it's like, oh cool, like these are guys I've seen other places and I never thought I'd see them here, but hey, here they are. And even like KTB's a dude who's just gotten over more and more every show he's been at.
Yeah, man. Both of those guys are solid.
Okay, normally I don't get into this type of thing. I'm not a huge fan of like repetitive interviews, but I don't know how much my fans know about you. Please explain who you are to the audience if they like, because they should go to Powerbomb and check everything out. But get a quick introduction to yourself.
I'm King of the Iron Elbow, the Pitbull, Brett Eisen. I'm from Pistol City, Kentucky, even though I am a Tennessee boy. I was a original Kentucky boy. I broke in when I was 15, but I don't like to claim that because I came in and out.
Okay.
So 2014, I came back in after I left music, and I've been hitting the ground running ever since. But I am, when I broke in, when I got back, Jimmy from PWF, he looked at me, he goes, "Who's Brett Eisen?" "A badass motherfucker." "You know how many badass motherfuckers there are, Brett?" "There's a lot." "Touche, Jimmy, touche."
Yeah.
Now I can look at him and say, I am the badass motherfucker, because I am. I've got the confidence in myself now. But I'm the big dude. I strike, I suplex. I'm in your face. I'm the dude that goes to a bar not to drink. I'm the guy that goes to the bar to fight.
That's 100% believable. I feel like you, like to describe you as a badass motherfucker, I believe it, but it's not necessarily just I'm a badass motherfucker. You're a scary badass motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
you're not a, like a cookie cutter dude. I don't want to say rough to look at, but like you've been through, you could tell you've been through shit. So means you could get through some more shit. That's the real scariness when you walk out with just that look on your face. It's just like, oh shit. Like I'm scared. Like if I was in the ring, I'd be like, oh shit, like I'm scared. Like this guy's gonna kick my ass.
Yeah, I've seen some shit.
So but. I know, but you've done some backyard wrestling, and I'm taking this was your name because it was just thrown at me randomly. Torch Hudson.
Yeah, that was Jesse's mother's boyfriend.
Okay.
Excuse me. And he was actually the brother of the guy that actually trained us.
Okay.
Yeah. But backyard stuff, it was fun and painful times.
What was your level of backyard wrestling? Like, what all did you do? I was sadly more of the kids just dicking around on trampolines, but then like learning like what other kids did, especially, you know, the backyard wrestling DVDs. I was like, oh, I didn't even come close to all the craziness the people could do.
We started off on trampolines, and then it became a thing where we built a ring out of telephone poles that were stolen.
Whoa.
Yeah, sawed them in half, and then we just built the frame and put a little bit of padding down. There was absolutely no give. It was worse than the ring we got trained in, which was a boxing ring.
Ooh.
Yeah, man. But as far as how far we went, man, like, I would dive out of the ring and shit, and then eventually Jesse got into the more deathmatch side of stuff, and no one else would do it with him, so I did it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've got scars on my body and stuff from the light tubes and all this stuff, but I stay away from that now.
Yeah, I could totally see that, like, why you'd want to, like, stay away. Though, I mean, not to foreshadow a lot, I mean, you do have the match coming up next month with Nick Gage. What can we expect with that match? Because that honestly, which I don't know if I've told here on the show, but I know I've told you personally and a couple times publicly, is that I was planning on going to what was supposed to be, like, a February show. Because that, like, the normal progression of, like was every so many months. So when I was told, like, oh, no, we're doing it in January, I'm like, I don't think I can go because I was just going to use tax money to, like, fund it to all come down and come back. And then I heard that match. I was like, oh, well, then I'm coming in January. I don't care how. I'm doing it because I have to see this match.
Man, I mean, you know what to expect out of Nick Gage. Or maybe you don't. I mean, he seems to be an unpredictable guy.
I feel like I don't. I've seen him in a lot of matches, and it's like, okay, are we going to get deathmatch Nick Gage? Or we can get, like, actual wrestling Nick Gage. And, like, you know, he just had the match with LA Park, but he's also had, you know, crazy matches, you know, like Tim Donst. So it's like, where am I going to put him in? He had a really good match too early this year with Hot Sauce Tracy Williams.
Just by going off of what I know the venue rules are, is I doubt there'll be light tubes. So
okay,
that's just that. But hardcore brawling and wrestling, I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
I'm sure
there'll be chairs and stuff involved and whatever blunder we can find.
Are there any other like weird venue rules? Because the no light tube one seems to be a big one, but I think I've been told it's just because of the stuff that's inside them that like a lot of places just don't want to deal with it.
Oh yeah, I think they say it's like mercury or something's in them.
Yeah,
but venue rules I'm not really too like knowledgeable on because I know when to be there, when to set up the ring, and then
yeah,
when to get out. But other than that, I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not my area of expertise there.
Tell an outside fan like myself what the energy of that venue is like. Because one thing that I've said over the past year of watching Southern Underground Pro, at least on Powerbomb, when everything got released, Halloween show last year, like that Halloween theme show, it almost seemed dead. Like, not a lot of people were there. But then you watch, like, from that point on, the crowd gets bigger and bigger and bigger. When I first seen that Halloween show, I was like, oh, maybe it's because certain things were going on that time. And, you know, that took away a lot of fans. We'll see what it's like next year. And, like, we had the Halloween show this year, and it was packed still. Now, I'm like, ooh, how could you describe just that energy of Basement East?
Basement East is a music venue originally. But they let us come in and do our thing. For me, a lot of people have compared it to old ECW type feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I can totally get that. It's just, you see a bar, you see a wrestling ring, you see a stage. I mean, I enjoy it because it's something that I'm familiar with,
yeah,
with music and touring. And the crowd, they love you or they hate you, and they'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a very progressive crowd.
Okay.
So if you say something really stupid or a slur or something, they're going to let you know.
Okay.
But I mean, they're rowdy, rambunctious when they want to be. Then there's other times where, like, when Tracy and Koo wrestled, like, they were intensely watching,
mm-hmm,
and they would applaud when something happens. And it was the same way with Parnell and Makabe.
Yeah.
I enjoy it because they hate me. So there's a few Brett supporters out there, but mostly I'm public enemy number one.
I was about to say shout out to the Sobros Network for the Brett Eisen fan base down there in Tennessee.
Oh yeah. Stoney's not too fond of my tactics, but yes, most of the Sobros, Mosley's my dude.
Mm-hmm.
We've been really good friends over the past year and a half.
Yeah.
And I met him at a place called Resolute Wrestling out of Crossville, Tennessee.
Okay.
That's one of my home promotions I'm at.
Where's that roughly
which
at?
Which they got, do what?
Where's that roughly at in Tennessee?
Crossville, Tennessee. It's like 40 minutes outside of Knoxville.
Okay. Because that's one thing that I always thought when I was, because I don't know whether you know this, I was an over-the-road trucker, and I would go, you know, state to state to state, and I'd always kind of wonder, like, where, like, the particular point I was at, like, where is, like, is there a wrestling show tonight? Are there any good names on the show? I'd only seen a flyer once. Ironically enough, it was in Tennessee. I do want to say it was around Knoxville too. And I seen like a random flyer, couldn't tell you the name of the promotion, couldn't tell you anybody on the flyer, but I was always loved seeing those type of things. But Sobros, the cool dudes. I love what they do of just being like, okay, we're going to talk about wrestling here and there, but I know they do the Nashville sports. That's probably the only part that I just ignore because I'm not really a fan of anybody in any team in the Nashville area, But then they'll like they'll do like movies and just like general conversation about stuff. And I'm like these dudes I can get behind. They remind me a lot of myself, and you know stuff that you know Jesse's doing with Southern Underground Pro and Kick Out of Two. And I'm just like these are some cool dudes. Actually, those are probably top of my list of when I go down there is like to kick it with those dudes for a little bit.
Yeah, man, they're all good dudes. They're always back by the stage. That's their little area where they gather up and they get some beers in them and they have fun, man.
I think the thing that caught my eye with you, because I made a tweet one night and I think I caught you at the wrong time because like you just didn't get it. I was watching all these Southern Underground Pro shows and I called you meth because you're a carny killer and you're like, I don't get it. And I was trying to explain. Like stereotypically, you know, meth is a big thing used for carnies, like, and they kill carnies. So like you're meth, you're a carny killer. Like I just remember tweeting back and forth. You're like, I don't get it. And like, you apologize. Like, I don't know. Just, it's been a long day. And I'm like, hey, it's cool, dude. It's cool, dude.
Yeah. Working in a kitchen for like 8 hours and on your feet and just sweating your ass off. You lose your mind a little bit.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing. Like I'm always a somewhat observant person. Well, I'll notice like, just like with people post pictures and everything. You work at a wing establishment, if I'm correct.
Yes, I do.
Can we say the name or you just want to not say it?
Oh, I don't care, man. I work at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's the funny thing. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, I love wings, but I don't know. I think in my area, we're spoiled with the Quaker Steak and Lube chain. Like, I mean, we still have BW3s and that's like a, you know, the big, I think, wing national chain, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to sauces, I'll take Quaker Steak hands down, but that's personally just me.
The first time I ever had Buffalo Wild Wings was actually in Cincinnati. So, I like the job because of the people I work with.
Okay,
yeah. In the kitchen, not outside the kitchen, because most of those people are idiots. But
the customers or waiters,
the servers. Yeah, they're fucking stupid. Yeah. There's some good ones, but then there's some that are just dumb and can't even read a ticket correctly.
Yeah,
but they work with my schedule and they understand. So like when I come in and my neck's all marked up and, or I've got a bump on my head or something, they all just look at me. They're like, wrestling. I'm like, yep, that's all it is.
Yeah. It's really cool to have a job that actually understands everything like that and don't get a big fuss. But I mean, you're in the kitchen. That's,
oh yeah,
biggest deals being a server, and that's one thing I could never do. I always try to be cool to my wait staff because the only thing I've ever done in the food industry was I worked at McDonald's, but I was like, you know, always on the grill or assembly. Like I never, or maybe I did like window, but I never took money, never all that, like took orders because I know like just dealing with people can be like horrible. And like, no matter how your day is going, you got to put that smile on. You got to do all that shit. And there's customers, especially I think out in the more, you know, wait staff type establishments where there are just some horrible human beings. I always even try to tip good. Like I said, never waited a table a day in my life. But if you're giving me good service, even some of the smallest things, I think of if you keep my glass full and it's not empty for too long, like I'm just like, I'll give you a good tip.
That's how I am, exactly. If you keep me refilled, I'm good, because I drink a lot. Yeah, man, I couldn't deal with the public at all. Like, I applaud them for being able to deal with assholes and stuff, because I would be fired, like, day one. Because I'm just one of these people that, like, someone says something rude to me, I'm going to fucking go off. I can only bite my tongue so much.
Yeah, and I don't know how I could deal with some of the, like, for example, like I mentioned, tips. Like, you could think, like, I was great to this table, and you get, like, a dollar, or you get, like, nothing. And I'm like, you have to be a shitty server. Like, actually, I'll insult you by only giving you a couple dollars. But it has to be really, really bad.
Yeah. There's some people, like I see it all the time. Like some servers, they're lazy. They'll be back there on their phones and stuff. And then the food's dying in the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's some really good ones and they walk out with all the money. And then the others wonder why that they don't have money.
it's all about, you know, customer services. As stereotypical and bad as that sounds, I mean, it really comes down to it. Like, I'll even do a point of, I'll make sure someone gets a good tip. Like, I'll pull out my calculator and make sure they get 20 to 25%. And sometimes round up a little bit more because I'm like, ah, this was really good. Like, I'm really happy. Like, I know, like I said, for Quaker steak, that's my big one. And they're supposed to ask me when I order my food whether I want carrots or celery or ranch and blue cheese. If they just bring something out to me, and it's normally what they do is they happen to bring me celery and blue cheese, I'm like, well, that's not what I wanted. Your tip's going down.
Right.
But I want to go back to something you mentioned, is and I didn't attack it as well as I wanted to, but music. Like, I didn't know you were involved in music. Like, what all exactly were you involved in?
I did vocals.
Okay.
I was in a metalcore band. They are still active. I believe they're playing Louisville today. They are called The Human Condition. I was in music for about 7 years, so it was fun. I got to play with like a lot of big bands and some of my favorite bands. It's very relatable to pro wrestling, especially the touring aspect, because you're traveling to a city where you don't know people, yeah, playing in front of a new crowd. Yeah, pay shitty.
Yeah, I could see that aspect of it. How were you when it came? Because there's a reason why I asked this, because I ran into something at one point and I kind of laughed at it. Okay, you performed. Did you, yep, like hang around the venue and everything, or did you kind of like try to like, okay, like you got your shit in, maybe sold whatever you had if you had that opportunity, and then like got on to the next town, especially if you knew it was hours away?
With that, yes, we would. If we had like a 10-hour drive and all this shit, we would pack up the stuff, wait to get paid, or tell the promoter, hey, we gotta leave. Gather our shit, say bye to the people that booked us or that we're friends with in the area, and get on the road, grab some food on the way, and keep going. So, I mean, time is everything with that, because, I mean, if you miss your fucking your show, then you're fucked. It's the same way with wrestling, you know?
Yeah, because there was at one point I happened to go to a concert with my girlfriend, and there was a band that she wanted to see. It was like a wasn't a bigger name, and they were one of the opening bands, and they were hanging out with the band afterwards, and the drummer or something was like, oh yeah, and like we were in Kent, Ohio, which is in Northeast Ohio, like right around the Akron area, that which is about an hour from Cleveland, and he drummer was like, oh yeah, we got to drive to somewhere, and it might have been like Green Bay or Milwaukee or something, and they're like, oh, we gotta drive all that way tonight, oh, it's so long. And I'm like, It's not that far. I mean, it's far, but I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, yeah, you're sitting here, you're drinking and partying. Like, why don't you just move on down the road while you're all awake and make that trip and then relax? Like, that's where I didn't get it as a driver. I'm like, oh, if you're complaining about your drive, you're number one, complaining to the wrong person, but still, like, not even, yeah, it's an easy drive.
Just different strokes for different folks, I suppose.
Yeah, that's pretty much, but. What bands of yours that you like that you got to play with and open up for?
I love Amir. They're a big metalcore band.
Okay.
Still around. I had played with so many of them. We got to play a Warped Tour once, which was very cool, and I got to knock off my bucket list. Who else did we play with? Man, we played with so many bands. Like, we were like the heavy hitters of Nashville. So, like, any, like, big touring bands that would come through and they needed a local on the package, like, we were more than likely going to get it. Played with a band called Acacia Strain. Man, there's just so many.
What was it?
I really can't think of them off the top of my head.
What was it that caused you to, like, get out of music and come back to wrestling?
Man, it was... I was in the band for 7 years through a bunch of different member changes. We would be on the cusp of signing a record deal. Either the record label would fold or they would lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just eventually just got burnt out on it. And I always told myself, if I stop having fun, stop doing it. So October 12th, 2014, we played with Whitechapel Upon a Burning Body. And that was my last show.
And then came back to wrestling. Like, how long did that transition take?
Not long at all. I was wrestling while I was making my exit.
Okay, okay. Almost like putting your 2 week notice in at a job, but also like working at your new job a little bit.
Yep. I dislocated my knee earlier that year while we were playing 30 seconds into our set. And I just twisted one way, man, and my knee popped out and I went the other way and I hit the floor and Jesse happened to be there. And I looked at him. I said, dude, I broke something. So the band stopped. Like, literally, we just got set up in this small-ass venue, having to go up these crazy fucking stairs. And then I popped my knee out, and I was just like, yeah, I'm done, guys. I can't do nothing. And I went to the hospital and got there. And I guess when they put the inflatable brace on my knee to get me out, they popped it back in. So when I got there, the doctor was just like, yeah, nothing's out of place or anything. We got to wait for a CT scan and see what if there's any ligament damage and all this shit. And he told me that, and I was like, okay, cool. And I put on the brace, and I was walking out of there by that time. And I still never went and got it fixed. So
seems to be a common story among, you know, wrestlers and wrestlers. It's just like, oh, I didn't get that injury fixed. Well, going back into professional wrestling, it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah, it was after, I think it was probably like 3 months, maybe four, I was back, I was in the ring. So
another thing that I wanted to touch on with you, because I know it's really big with you, and you are an animal lover, you're a dog lover, you're a pit bull lover.
Yes.
How many dogs you have right now?
I have one, and he's coming over to me right now.
What's his name?
His name is Debo.
Okay, yeah, that's a good name.
He was named that before I got him, so.
Okay.
And I love the Friday movies, so it stuck.
That is, it's the hardest thing to do, I think, even in my opinion, of like, I have a dog, her name is Zool. I named her off of Ghostbusters, because I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan, and that's one of the handful of names. I wanted to name my dog Zool. I bought her when she was about four. I think she's like three, about to go on four, and the people that I bought her off of, they gave her a name and it was Bridget. I'm like, I'm weird. I don't like people named for dogs.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I want like a cool name. So when you hit like Zool, you're like, all right, that's a dog name. Even if it is a person name, like give it a reason. Like we have a cat and it's named Dexter, but it's named Dexter because of the TV show.
So, right. Yeah.
And so there was just that transition period after I got her. Like I didn't want to call her Bridget. But it was weird calling her Zool. So, like, I know, like, I maybe called her Bridget a couple times, but I eventually transitioned into Zool, and now, like, yeah, she knows it's her name. And you, at least if you got a dog with a good name, you're like, all right, like, I can sign off the name. This is a perfect name for a dog.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
He gained a bunch of nicknames over the years. People would call him Deebs or the Deebs.
Okay.
It was just, yeah, he's a goofy son of a bitch.
Oh. What is it about pit bulls that gravitate you towards them?
I think the fact that they're misunderstood and they get that bad rap because anybody could take a look at me on the street. And I mean, me walking around, they're just going to look at me and they're automatically assume, oh, he's a hooligan or a thug and blah, blah, blah. And so, I identify with that a lot, and I've been around pit bulls my whole life. My cousins and aunt and uncle, they always had pit bulls, and they would have just puppies and stuff. So, me being around them a lot my whole life, I'm just their family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love animals to death, and like, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever seen my shirt. There's a company called Mosh for Paws out of New Jersey. And I wrestle in the shirt a lot, and it was one of those viral pictures where the dog, somebody had either, I think it was a leash, or they had duct taped a dog's nose and snout, and that's on the back, and it says, kill your local animal abuser, and I support that fully.
Oh, yeah. I don't get it why people do that with certain dogs. Like, I actually just had something yesterday with my girlfriend's parents. They had a dog who, like, just randomly showed up at their place. And you could tell he was trying to keep warm because it's a little bit colder up here right now. And I guess the owner was, like, a couple houses over. Eventually, he was, like, okay, this is where his dog was. And he always keeps it outside. Now, I actually have learned that there are certain breeds. Like, I have a cousin who loves St. Bernards. Like, that's a breed, yeah. You keep outside because that's actually where they're supposed to be. That's where they're comfortable. I don't know what breed this dog was, but it would definitely, if it's hiding under cars, which is where they found him, like, for warmth, and he keeps going, like, yesterday he actually came back after the owner took him back to, like, because he was like, these people took me inside. they kept me warm. I'm going back to them. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Man, I actually read a thing yesterday that they're trying to pass a law, I think, for all states that if dogs are outside, they have to have a house.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I had a grandfather who he had one dog that he always kept outside. I don't remember the breed because I was so young, but they had a special house made for him. And he was always left on a chain. I don't remember him ever being off the chain, but if it was cold, like that was the spot. I always figured that if you're going to do that, why don't you have a dog house?
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's, I mean, they need warmth. I mean, cause they're not us. Yeah. Like, I mean, they're, like you said, there's certain dogs that are made for that. Like St. Bernard, the Husky. And I'm sure there's others.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you're a fucking human. They're not, and they fucking love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter if you beat them. Love them. And like I said, I don't condone any of that shit, but they don't know any better. They're going to still love you.
Yeah.
We don't deserve dogs. I say that all the time.
Yeah. The thing that I've always loved about dogs is like, they don't judge you, or even like if you are mean to them or whatever, they'll still end up coming back to you. Or like, it even sucks having to like punish a dog. Like I've had to do that a numerous times with my dogs, and I feel bad for it, but I always want to make sure she knows, like, if she can comprehend it, like something was wrong, but I make sure when time passes, whenever she's out of the punishment, it's like, okay, back to lovin's, back to getting what you deserve, because they love you like you said, unconditionally. They don't care what you did. They don't care how bad your life is. I'm like, they're like, I got you.
Yeah, man, that was I had surgery on my face a couple months ago from a stupid cyst, and I was in the hospital for 5 days, and when I came home and finally got to sleep in my bed, my fiance would open the door every time, and my dog usually sleeps in his kennel or beside it on his blanket.
Mm-hmm.
And he would sleep in front of the door, and he wouldn't move. And me just thinking what it was is he doesn't want me to leave again.
Yeah.
Because I would FaceTime her when I was here, and he just looked so sad and lost.
Yeah, that's...
But that's it's sad shit.
Yeah. Like, I know I had the benefit when I bought my dog when I was over the road. She literally went everywhere with me. The only time, like, I was never around her was, like, if I was checking in to a place that I was delivering or receiving, so she never came with me, or I was, like, taking a shower or going into a truck stop. Like, she waited always by, like, I have videos because I always thought that was cute. She'd be, like, waiting at the window, and sometimes, like, she would, like, jump up and, like, scratch at it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just... But I had that benefit of like pretty much always being around her. And then when I quit that job and went to another company, I had to put in my 2 week notice. And I was like, well, I don't want to bring her back on a bus, cause that's what I'm going to have to come back on. Cause my company was located in, Kentucky, actually. What is that? Murray, Kentucky.
Murray, Kentucky. Yep.
Yep. So I knew I was going to take a bus from there. I'm like, I can't bring her on a bus. No way in hell they would even allow me, like a Greyhound would let me have it. So I was like, all right, dropped her off at my roommate's, and like only had like a handful of stuff that I brought back with me. But when I came back, she was like really excited to see me. And I actually have a picture of her where she's like laying on my chest and her head is just right in my face sleeping. Because she was so excited I was back. But what sucked was, like, another day or so later, I had to leave again to go to orientation in Indianapolis. But luckily, that was a couple days. Came right back. And, yeah, she she's definitely loving the life that she has now, where she's home all the time. But I think part of her probably does miss, like, going out on the road.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I'm picking up my bags, he just gives me this look, and I'm always like, I'll be back, man. I'll be back.
Another topic I wanted to bring up, and this will be the, like, one of the main topics before we get into the Fave Five questions. Yeah. We are both huge fans of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Fuck yeah.
I think that's one of the things that gravitated me towards you. Like, you love it just as much as I did. I think one thing we even, like, talked about at one point was, because I think I said, I think TMNT is better than one, and you thought that was crazy.
TMNT? Oh, the animated movie?
No. The actual, like, this was on Facebook. We talked about it. This was the movies, because I think I kind of like two better than one. Secret of the
Universe. Oh, I mean,
the movie. Yeah,
I used to be that way for sure, and then, like, I just one. I guess just it's always going to pull me in because that was the first thing besides the cartoon I saw.
Yeah. I have reasons why I like both. It's hard to pick. Like, when I say it's better than one, I'm not like two is just amazing and one sucks. It's, to me, it's a neck and neck, and there's things that I love about both. The first one, the original, like, Shredder dialogue, his, like, little monologue, like, and even that, the music that's used, like, that is one of my favorite scenes, I think, in the whole movie. Shredder is just this badass. I've even made the analogy, because I don't know about you, I didn't really grow up liking Star Wars. Like, I wasn't really introduced to them as much until the 90s. So I was like, I like Shredder more than Vader. And you, I mean, I was going to say, like, I think
I'm right there with you.
When you look at them, they're kind of similar. It's just, yeah, Vader is this, you know, he has these basically special powers and he has a laser sword. Like, that's cool and all. But Shredder, just even the cartoon version of him was a badass.
Oh, yeah. Man, he's my favorite villain.
Same.
I mean, he's so ruthless, like, especially in the graphic novels and the comics, man. He's like, the IDW collection, like the volumes that they do. And, like, they do the original story, or maybe it's like just slightly different than what Kevin and Lillard did.
Yeah.
But, like, man, it was back, like, the way that they do this series is like, it's reincarnation. Like, they were actually four sons in Japan, and Splinter was their father, and they had a mother, and Shredder pretty much beheads the mother in front of all of them.
Oh, shit.
And then cuts off all the sons' heads in front of Splinter. Yeah. I was just like, what am I getting myself into? Like, this is rough.
God, it almost sounds like some of those more darker Batman stories that are out there.
Oh, yeah, man.
Like, with, like, Joker being just this insane villain, like, killing Robin and all this stuff, like, shit, like, you, like, isn't your normal, you know, cartoons, even comic books and movies, but, yeah, that, I've never, because Turtles is such a huge, huge, like, universes, they keep, I love that they keep reinventing it for, like, different ages.
Generations. Yeah.
And, like, I feel like if that current generation likes it, maybe they will, like, look back at, you know, all the other series. Like, I mean, there's almost been a Turtles something every decade.
Yeah, it's the same way with Power Rangers, man.
Oh, God, they never die. Like, I grew up loving Power Rangers up until it was the first movie. I loved it. And then, like, right after that, I just kind of got out of it. And it wasn't like, oh, I hate Power
Turbo
Rangers.
Yeah, Turbo sucked.
It for me, it was, they were, I don't even think that was Turbo. What is that, when they got the, technically,
like,
they
the cars?
Ooh, no, even, I was before out before that. It was like literally like that movie, like the whatever they did for that movie, and they I didn't find out later they rewrote it for the TV series. Like, okay, this is where we're going, and they're like, all right, here's the same story, but we're retelling it for the TV show, but we're giving it completely different things. But it was right around that time, and it wasn't like, oh, I hate Power Rangers now. There was I was more into Nickelodeon. And Nickelodeon was doing, like, Nick in the Afternoon at the same time. And I'm like, like, I like Power Rangers, but I really want to start watching this. And then I just, like, slowly got out of it and, you know, just transitioned.
Yeah. I was, I mean, Ninja Turtles over everything for me. But I mean, I watched Power Rangers. I remember, Beetleborgs and
VR Troopers.
I remember all that stuff, man. Yeah, VR Troopers and
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Was it Samurai Warriors? Was that one of them?
That sounds right, but I'm not 100%
sure. Oh, Ronin Warriors. That's what it was.
Okay.
That was an old cartoon. I mean, I remember used to waking up watching Voltron and shit.
Yeah. I had a fun conversation with a friend of mine, and another friend of mine who happened to be there, who was really big into Power Rangers and all that kind of stuff. And he was just, our other friend was like, well, Voltron, you know, that was the original Power Rangers. And he was like, other friend big into Power Rangers. He's like, actually, the original, like, Power Rangers, like, came before Voltron. And, like, trying to convince him, like, no, like, technically, Power, like, not necessarily Power Rangers, but the Japanese version, like, that was first. It's just Voltron.
Yeah.
I think it was, I never got hardcore into Voltron, but, like, definitely the toy aspect. Like, as soon as I seen those toys, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then literally, like, within the same year is when Power Rangers came out, from what I found out about Voltron, I was like, oh, well, they're doing this now over here. And I know all, like, I get to start from the beginning. Okay, I'm going to start watching this. And I remember when that picked up, and that was huge.
Oh, yeah. Have you watched any of the new Power Ranger stuff? I'm not Power Ranger. I mean Ninja Turtle stuff.
No, I haven't had a chance. I didn't even get a chance to watch the first Nickelodeon series. Because, as a fan, like, I sit back and I kind of follow what's going on, like, what they're doing. And I had seen, like, okay, they're bringing back, Nickelodeon's bringing it back, they're doing this. And then that lasted so long. And then they're like, okay, we're restarting it again. And it seems interesting. I just not had a chance to get around and watch it.
I'm not a fan of the animation.
Okay.
But, like, of this 2018 one, the 2012 one, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have every DVD in there, and I've watched it probably 5 to 7 times over.
Yeah.
Like, I just love the story.
What was your thought on the Michael Bay movies?
I think they got a lot of bad rap because of the look.
Yeah.
But from a Ninja Turtle standpoint, like, being all the way up till I'm 30, and I mean, I still watch it.
Yeah.
Besides the look, I thought it was great. They had a lot of, like, hidden stuff, mm-hmm. like Easter eggs, that I don't think a lot of people caught on to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if people would go back and just not necessarily have an open mind, but an opener mind, just let a little bit more in, mm-hmm. I think they could probably enjoy it if they can get past the way it looks.
I remember not liking the first one as much. Like, I was like, this isn't horrible. I have issues here, and here. I don't remember what they all were off the top of my head. But my main thing was, I grew up with 80s cartoons, and I was always kind of upset they never did Bebop and Rocksteady. Like, I was always, give me Bebop and Rocksteady. Give me Krang in a movie.
Oh,
That's where the original TMNT3, I think, screwed up, of not bringing those guys in instead of doing the time travel and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But when 2 came out, I'm like, all right, they're giving me Bebop. They're giving me Rocksteady. They're giving me Krang. Went in with an open mind, and I really enjoyed it. And that's the one I wanted to come out with a 3, because they left so much open. Like, you have Baxter Stockman there. You have Shredder still technically there. Like, no, the thing that I like too, maybe we're so used to, okay, it's good guys versus bad guys, and then the good guys have to win, and the bad guys have to go to jail, or they have to die, or they whatever. Everything for the bad guys, I felt in this movie, was to be continued. Like, everybody's still here.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come back in the sequel, and it sounds like we're not going to get that. I'm like, why? That was building to such a really good third movie, and they probably could have brought in, you know, more of Dimension X and all this kind of stuff.
Like, they probably could have brought the Hot Rod teens in and all that stuff, man.
The Neutrinos?
The Triceratons and all of them, too. God.
There was so much opportunity, and then, like, people just didn't show up, and I'm like, why? Like, I felt like fans of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for years were like, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, and they're like, okay, cool, here it is, but they were like, I don't care anymore, and I'm like, why? Like, Bebop and Rocksteady, and the dudes who played Bebop and Rocksteady, Seamus and the other dude, they probably my favorite part.
Oh yeah, Sheamus was great in that role. I loved it. The whole my man stuff that popped me every time they did it. Sheamus actually lives in Nashville now.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Slade Porter was telling me the other day. Slade, if I'm giving away your personal life, works for a supplement store, and Sheamus came in. Wow. Just randomly.
That's pretty cool. Thing that I liked is I happened to meet him at a wrestling show, waiting outside, and got a quick picture with him, and then I threw it out there. I'm like, my man. he kind of smiled, but he's probably like, hey, you're a little old, but I'm like, I don't care. I love the movie. That was great, man.
Yeah, man, it felt like that movie felt like the Turtles in Time video game of them just going to different places fighting, or the old TV show.
Yeah, I was comparing it more to the TV show. I see the TMNT Turtles in Time. That, on the side note, probably one of the best video games of all time. I think it's within my top five. My top one is Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past, but Turtles in Time is just beyond classic.
Oh yeah, man! I saw there's this little arcade thing I follow on Instagram, and they make little tabletop arcade games, and they had Turtles in Time, and then the first arcade game, $1,000. It ain't bad.
Thing that I liked when I first got my this is way back when with Xbox 360. I wasn't already on it, but you could still get it, and I bought it. Was the original TMNT arcade game. And then years later, they redid it. They redid Turtles, and it's just like Turtles in Time. It was okay, but I don't know. It's anything like that.
Yeah, I think we talked about that at a PWF where they changed or took some stuff out.
Yeah, it was still fun. Like my nephew, he just turned 15, but when he was younger, he was really getting into Turtles, and I bought him all the when the DVDs were coming out, I'd buy him one, and this was the 80s Turtles, he was loving it. And there was a day that I was all right, let's come over and my house, let's play some video games, and that was one of the games we played, and he was just in love with Turtles. I think that's the thing that I like. You know we're both in our 30s, he's 15, and he has memories of Turtles. And I have another nephew who's I think he's right around 7. He kind of grew up watching the 2012 relaunch. And it's just that thing, like I said, that's always been there. Even me, I've never was big into the 2000s Turtles, but the thing that I did love that I was just like, if I could replace anything, as much as I love the original Shredder, that robot Shredder looked even more like a badass. And that's when I loved
it. Oh, yeah. He was definitely a badass. My niece was the same way, man. She was real young. And she was into the 2012. So, it was cool for me when I could go buy her something. And, it felt like I was buying it for me, but giving it for her, because I can't bring myself to buy action figures anymore, because I just don't play with them. So it's I don't want to waste money.
I'll definitely buy action figures if I think they're cool looking, but there has to be some sort of sentimental value. I do have my own fair share of a pop collection. Ironically, I only have two Turtles pops, but they're both Shredder. That's regular Shredder and then an 8-bit Shredder. Because, we said, that's just the best villain.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My second favorite villain would probably be Heihachi from Tekken. But...
never really got big into Tekken, but I think if I were to put a second, it's really close right now between Shredder and Thanos. Because I'm a huge...
Oh, Thanos for sure, yeah.
I'm not really big into comic books, but I remember when Thor came out, I was I had kind of read some news, all right, this is going to be the big villain for Avengers. And I was all right, cool. And I read up and I'm oh, this guy's pretty cool. And then Infinity Gauntlet, all right, cool. And that was literally a year before when the movie came out. I forgot, I kind of forgot about it. And then we get to the mid-credit scene where they show and I'm like, oh my God. And just the pump, just the excitement for him since then is amazing. And the thing that I love, I was just recently rewatching part of that movie, and I don't think movies do enough nowadays because you don't have those type of universes. How many, movies start off with the villain just immediately? They've already given you little bits of backstory, but in the beginning, it's, him conquering the Asgardian ship. I felt like no movies do that. They always have a different formula.
Yeah, I don't remember if any Star Wars started off with Vader, but yeah, I mean, in recent memory, that's all I can really recall is that, is Infinity War.
And even, you know, as of this recording, they don't have the teaser trailer out. Part of me says, like, they don't really need it. They just need to say, hey, remember Infinity War? Well, here's the next movie, and here's the name. This is the day it's coming out. That's it.
I think trailers give away too much nowadays.
I do agree. I think it depends on the movie, though. Like, the smart movies will hide stuff in their trailers. Marvel is good. Granted, they'll give you some story aspects, and there's things that you might be able to fit together. But, like, there's things that they purposely edit out. Like, you know, Thor in Thor Ragnarok. The part where he, like, his eye's already gone, and he's, you know, charged up. Like, they edited, like, they made it, they didn't have that in the trailer. So when it happened, you're like, oh, shit. And the Infinity Stone was a little bit like that. I've always enjoyed a good trailer that you can watch, but you still don't understand the movie. But you're like, I you have enough intrigue, like, okay, I want to go in and watch this, but I don't know. I think the one that pops to the top of my head is Inception. I remember watching that trailer going, I'm just like, all right, cool visual effects, but I have no idea what the fuck this movie's about. But that's where the movie stepped in. They're like, here it is. And it all made sense.
Great movie, too.
It's been a while since I've seen that one, but yeah, I do wish trailers would show less, or sometimes I've kind of purposely stepped away. Like, actually, I haven't even seen the Captain Marvel trailer yet, but the only thing is, I go to movies a lot. I go to at least 3 times a month. So I'm bound to run into trailers.
Oh, yeah.
I've yet to run into that trailer. But
I haven't seen it in the theaters at all. Like, I went and watched Creed 2 last week, and there was like 8 trailers. And the only one that stuck out to me is just because it's Aquaman. But other than, I don't even want to see Aquaman, but it still stuck out amongst everything else.
Yeah, I'm being kind of dragged to that one. Like, I'm a big comic book movie fan, but even then I'm like, I'm kind of really tired of these DC movies, and Aquaman just doesn't look good. But my girlfriend's like, I want to go see it. And it comes out the same week or weekend as Sherlock and Watson, or Holmes and Watson with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, since I want to go to a movie on Christmas, one we'll see during the weekend, the other one we're seeing on Christmas. I don't know which one I want to do first. Like, it's basically one will go first, but then you have the cool thing of going to the movie on Christmas. So I don't know which I want to put Aquaman on, but yeah, it doesn't look that good. The DC, like, it's a different topic of just the DC movies and how well they look. Like, I love Batman. The Nolan trilogy, hands down, one of my favorites. Dark Knight is in my top 5, but outside of that, ever since they've tried this shit, it's just been like, the way I've always described it is, they looked at Marvel and they go, oh, we want to be like Marvel, but Marvel put in work. It's probably like the equivalent of, you know, someone who's been working out, you know, for years, and they have all the progress, and you see someone who just goes, well, I want to get like that now. Yeah, it took them time to get like that.
Trust the process. Trust the process.
And that's definitely where they screw up.
Yeah, I mean, I hate Superman as a superhero, but I loved Nolan's movie, Superman or Man of Steel.
You tell me, I
loved it.
You hate the superhero that's just an alien whose only weakness is a stone, and the secret identity is disguised by glasses? That doesn't.
Yes, but I also, my other favorite superhero, their Batman, he's just a regular billionaire. But yeah,
people have always brought that up. Like, I know people that say, like, oh, Batman's not a superhero because he doesn't have any superpowers, and I'm like, well, neither is Iron Man. He's just a billionaire.
Yeah.
Granted, he has things. In a suit. I mean, they're comparable. I'm like, if you consider Iron Man a superhero, so is Batman. But Batman, where he doesn't get his due, is he's always been a detective. That never gets shown in TV or movies. Like, it gets shown more in the video game aspect, when they can give you just hours of content and you actually have to do detective work.
I remember the rumblings of them talking about doing Batman like a noir film. Mm-hmm. Like, this was what the Ben Affleck one was going to be, but I don't even know if that's even happening anymore.
Yeah, there's, I know a whole bunch of things they want to do with that. It's sad because, like, I think of, if I were to pick my favorite superhero, it's always been Batman, but Batman has just been beat to death and killed with all these different
movies. I think Christian Bale's the best Batman.
See, a lot of people don't agree. Like, I'm the same way. I think even when people bitch about the voice, well, why does he talk like that? That's dumb. And I'm like, well, are you blaming Christian Bale or are you going to blame Christopher Nolan? Because that took both of them to do it. One of them came up with it, and they went with it. The second thing is, you're Batman. You have to disguise your voice. I mean, if we're going to look at Superman and say he's dumb for just wearing glasses and being like glasses on, Clark Kent, glasses off, Superman. Like, there has to be a thing where, like, Batman doesn't sound like Batman. When he can talk to people, you know, one day as Clark, not Clark Kent, as Bruce Wayne, the next day as Batman, and they don't know the difference.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, the voice never bothered me.
Same.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, let's start wrapping this up, and we'll go into our Fave 5 questions.
Hey, this is Booker T, 5-time champ, and this is the Fave 5 questions. Now, can you dig it?
All right, and we're going to start with question number 1. And, of course, for those who don't know, Fave 5 questions, yes, there's 5 questions, but Booker T always had more than 5 in his Fave 5, so there's 6. All right, we will start with, since we kind of already talked about a good transition, who do you think the best physical portrayal of the Joker is?
Heath Ledger.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Another thing I agree with you on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like that movie from beginning to end, it's just great. I'll throw it in every so once in a while. I'll throw in the trilogy every so once in a while and watch them all in a row.
Oh, yeah.
But I always felt, and I've said this many times on the show, that I always look at that as the Joker. I don't look at that as Heath Ledger. Like, the only time the only time I look at him and go, okay, that's Heath Ledger, is the interrogation room scene, because his makeup's off and the way the light's hitting him, it does look more like Heath Ledger. But the rest of the movie, that's the Joker.
Oh, I completely agree, because I remember first time watching that, I was just like, that's Heath Ledger? I would have never, like, if no one would have told me that was Heath Ledger, I would have never thought it.
Yeah.
It was, and I like that he's the one that came up with all his prosthetic makeup and stuff, ideas,
mm-hmm.
and he's the one that actually filmed all of, like, the video cam shit he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
And then, like, the way he did the makeup, too, like, okay, I'm a madman. Everything's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be this, like, perfectly white with, you know, the pinpoint accuracy of the red. Like, it's going to be messy. And something that I didn't notice until later, that, like, there's actually, like, makeup and everything on his hands.
Oh, I see. I'll have to look for that next time I watch it.
Yeah, like, it's a guy who, like, put on the makeup and you're like, you didn't wash his hands all the way afterwards. Like, there's a little bit of, it's so believable. I think that's what I get from it, that he put so much work and thought into it. And And I think the thing that I like too, because if I'm correct, when the hospital blows up, like, the
detonator scene.
Yeah, and he improvises well, and you think like that's how it's supposed to go, and it's just there's only certain actors that can pull that off, and he was great.
Oh yeah, I love improv stuff like that. It's working on the fly, man.
All right, question number 2. Since you work at a wing establishment, how do you feel, bone in or bone out?
Bone in. Like, if it's wing, I mean, boneless wings are nothing but chicken nuggets. I don't care what anybody says.
That's the one of the most common takes, and I agree with it, but there are people out there, like, I think Wilkman is a lover of boneless wings, I think. Not 100% sure.
Wilkman's absurd. He's a big Ninja Turtle fan too, though, man.
Yeah, I know. I think we've had some minor conversations about it, and he was like one of those that's really was upfront about the new series. Like, okay, when they came out with the designs, he was just kind of like, "All right, I'm going to wait to see." And I know he's always been like upfront. I'm just like checking everything, all that out.
Yeah, we talk about stuff. Many, like, he actually the Last Sup show, they put out the score on vinyl from the original TM and Ninja Turtle movie, and like he was telling me about it, I was just like, man, if I had a record player, I'd get it, but that'd be the only record I'd have. That or some Tupac albums. But
Yeah, I would probably get that too. Like I said, that shredder scene, to me, that's just an iconic song.
Going back to the band thing, I had like, you know, like metal and hardcore, it's more of an outcast thing. It's not popular like it is nowadays, but we used to actually play Shredder's speech.
Nice.
You're here because the outside world rejects you. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, man. Yeah. And then it would hit. It was so cool.
I used to know the speech myself. Like, I think, and I found this really good mashup online. They take that theme and they mix it with the TMNT Super Shredder theme.
Okay.
To a really good matchup. And they even have the sound clip of "You fight well in the old style, but now you must face the Shredder." And then it goes that. I'll send you the link while we're down here. Like that mashup is just fucking amazing. Love it.
Awesome.
All right. Question number three. Let's go with Adam's Family or the Munsters.
Adam's Family.
Thing that I've always explained between the two, that like if you actually like learn the history of them, they're so identical, and some people like one over the other, and it's great fun to hear people why they like which one over the other. But it's definitely, there's no right answer.
I grew up more with Adam Sandler, so
yeah, we are part of that age. Like I'm more Munsters, but you know the Adam's Family movies were good. If you were into it, the Adam's Family video games. Like all the Super Nintendo one.
Oh, you said Adam's Family. I thought you said Adam Sandler. I was just like,
No.
I would go with Adam's Family still, though. But
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Adam's Family.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the movies, the Super Nintendo video game, as bad as it is, like with some of the mechanics, it is still fun to throw on and like attempt every so once in a while.
Oh yeah.
All right, question number four, and we'll go with, since you know him, we'll go with the AJ Gray question, and that is, do you have any hot takes? Which I always believe a lot of times if you follow AJ Gray on social media, he's always throwing out some crazy hot takes.
I mean, I don't really know. It's like, I like AJ in person. I don't like AJ on the internet.
I've gotten the same way with them too, but I just like, if like I should say, once I say hot takes, I always mean as like unpopular opinions, that something that you believe you hold by. Like, what is your unpopular opinion that people might not agree with?
See, I don't even know, man. Like, most of the time I keep my thoughts to myself.
Okay.
Like, this is probably, anybody that knows me, this is probably this is the longest I've ever been on a phone call in probably the past 10 years. I'm a very reserved person. I say, like, it's just one of those things, being, when I got brought into the business, it was mouth shut, ears open. And I just applied that to my daily life because it was just pounded into me so much. And, like, if people ask, like, if I had options, then possibly could tell you, but other than that, man, like we'll go with this. Most of the SoundCloud rappers are all fucking trash.
I would agree with you for that fact. Actually, the thing
Suicide
with
Suicide Boys are the only ones I listen to.
I don't know, half of rap nowadays I'm out of. Literally the only one that I like, that's even not even say somewhat new, but only who's come out with newer things, very stereotypical, is Eminem. Like, I've always been a huge fan of Eminem. Actually, to my right, one of the few vinyls I own is a Proof album, which was his best friend.
Yeah.
He had one vinyl that he released because it was only released on vinyl and online, and I picked that up because I was a huge fan of his. But other than that, like that and Epic Rap Battles of History, other than that, like, I can't get into anything. And that's where I'm like, yeah, I'm in my 30s. I can tell, like, there's nobody I like now. Rap changed at some point, and
it did.
I think the analogy that I liked, they were like right around the time of Soulja Boy, and then they put it on him because he,
fuck Soulja Boy.
He was like one of the first rappers that was maybe hardcore against the older rappers, even though that's kind of been a common thing where old rappers didn't like new rappers, but he was one of the first new rappers to go, no, fuck you. And he like said it to Ice Cube or Ice-T or whatever one.
Yeah.
They clap back. And ever since then, there's been a disconnect between a lot of the younger rappers. Like, some of the younger rappers nowadays, like, they look up to Soulja Boy and you're like, the fuck did he do? Like, why don't you? Like,
yeah.
And like, how you'll always hear rappers from time to time disrespect, or now newer rappers disrespect Tupac. And it's like, how?
Dude, like, I almost got into a fist fight at work with a kid because of it. Like, he was like, he's trash. I was just like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, I'm screaming at him across the kitchen. I was like, dude, you're an idiot. Like, people saying that X is like this generation's Tupac. No, he's fucking not. Like, this is the one thing that'll get me upset is when people go in on Tupac.
Like, he's not my favorite rapper, but he was good. Like, he, and like what he accomplished, and he was not all about one style. Like, he brought you so many different styles. And God, if he would have lived longer, just like I've always said, like, imagine the career he would have, what he would have gotten into. You wouldn't have had rappers like Ja Rule. You might not even have rappers like DMX, because they took little bites out of Tupac because Tupac wasn't around.
Yeah. I mean, man, like, have you ever got deep in the conspiracy stuff with Tupac?
Oh, yeah.
Man, like, there's one that's like the numerology behind Tupac. I think it's like the Machiavelli theory or something. It's on YouTube. It's like an hour long.
Okay.
I listened to it one time when I was doing laundry, and I was just like, there was some stuff I knew, and then there was some stuff I was just like, what the fuck? Like, just a little bit. There was talking about how Tupac was taken to this CIA facility, and they, in like, just, I guess, brainwashed him into having the thug persona because, you know, he was a Juilliard art student and all this shit. But it just, like, it's crazy. I don't ever know whether what to believe with that shit.
Yeah. The thing that I like, I remember, you know, you're talking about the late 90s, early 2000s, when there was like, oh, he's going to come back after 7 years.
Because that's when, after you fake your death, you can come back and nothing can be charged.
And I think the ironically, I think on that seventh year was when they released Tupac Resurrection.
And that, and then his clothing line came out that year too.
Yeah, like there was after that point, that's where I stopped believing as much. Like, okay, he could be alive, but I know there's so much behind of all this, that kind of shit with him. But he, like, when he does get disrespected by modern day rappers, I'm like, I don't, why would you? He's definitely one of the greats. And it's hard to say who the GOAT is, but he's definitely one of those. If you say him, there's no argument.
I think he is, because, I mean, you look at what he's still doing, even if he he's dead or he's quote unquote alive. I mean, look what he's still doing.
Yeah,
they just his estate just won back a bunch of recordings, and they're putting out a new album. Nice. So
I'll always say there's not many artists out there that spent so much time in the studio that they could have albums come out after their death. The only two that I could think of, one being Tupac, and the other one was Johnny Cash. But I think that was before he passed. He spent a lot of time recording because that's the only thing he had.
Oh yeah.
And those are, like, on a side note, I know fun to listen to, but interesting. You can tell when he had good days and bad days, because there's just some of those with his recordings that are just, like, his, like, voice is a little gravel, like, hardcore gravelly, like, he sounds like death, but, like, the next song, depending on when it was picked up, like, it might have been closer to the beginning, and he sounds a little bit, like, normal.
Funny little story. Jesse says, I'm the man that killed Johnny Cash. Because we were sitting at his house, and I remember, I think I might have looked at his mom or him, and I was like, hey, didn't Johnny Cash just die? And literally the next day he died.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how much coincidence or conspiracy you can get that. Good God.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 5, since we already mentioned him, and this is going to be on every single Sup month question for all the wrestlers, just because you know him, the Wilk Man question. And if you know him well enough, you know it's going to be, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Oh, fuck yeah, it is. It was set on Christmas, correct?
Okay. Like, I'm more on the Wilkman side, because I always believe, okay, if that's Christmas, then Rocky IV is a Christmas movie. Coco's a Halloween
Why
movie.
Why not?
It's to each their own. Like, I'm definitely one of those kind of people. I don't think it is, but if you think it is, I'm not going to condemn you for it. Like, that's what you believe. That's fine. If you watch it on Christmas and that's your favorite Christmas movie, fine. Like, I'm not going to...
Has anybody ever asked Bruce Willis, or director, if it's a Christmas movie?
Bruce Willis has said no, but that wasn't a comedic setting, so I don't know whether he was feeling, and the writer said yes. On the flip side, though, and this is where I go, okay, like, it's definitely perspective, Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
I think that's a Christmas movie, hands down. The writer or director's come out and said, no, it's not. Oh. Like, it's like, what? How?
Yeah, that's why they play it on fucking 25 Days of Christmas and shit.
Yeah, it's my favorite Christmas movie, but I don't know. It's to each their own, but I had to ask. And here's the funny thing, which people don't really know this. When I created this question, even with AJ Gray, I get permission, like, hey, is it okay if I use your name just for this question?
Oh, yeah.
Wilkman said, like, all right, like, that's fine. Just tell, like, whenever people answer the question, let me know before it airs. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I told him, like, yeah, this is going to be a question on all of Sup Month. And I'm like, if Brett has anything to say, like, you could take it up with him. And he's like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Trust me, I'll tweet him and be like, Wilkman, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Come at me. As soon as we get done, I'll do it.
It's fun to catch. Crazy enough, most people have said no. On, like, so far for this as a question, but it's I'm curious of where we're going to be for Sup Month. Right now we're 1 out of 3. I don't know where Koo and Stunt sit, but
I think Koo will disagree. And who's the other one? Marco?
Yeah,
I don't know where Marco will go with it. I'm not, like, I love Marco to death. I'm not too, like, close with him, like,
yeah,
like, know him very well, but, like, when I'm around him, I love being around him. He's such a good dude.
The thing that I'll mention, since we brought up Marco, and it's a complete compliment to you and him, was when I watched All Eyes on Me. Like, the only thing that sucks being, like, a fan that doesn't get to go to Sup live, if there's something big that happens, I already know. Like, I already knew that, like, mm-hmm. Marco won the championship. I already knew that you won the championship. And if I wanted to avoid that, I literally have to stay off social media for 2 weeks. So if it gets spoiled, I'm not one of those people that goes crazy. But in my head, I'm like, all right, Marco, Brett, Marco's going to get killed. But even with knowing the ending, you guys told me enough of a story where I was kind of doubting it. Or, oh, shit, like, Marco's really looking way bad. Like, I literally thought it was just going to be a bloodbath, just beating the piss out of him. Maybe like a 1-2 and you pull him up, like, nope, I'm going to still beat his ass some more. Just punish him. But you guys told a great story, and I still love after the match, you, like, sat up and you just looked at the camera, and it was just that look of, like, I told you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Like, I saw Swerve come around the corner, and I knew he was coming over my left shoulder. So I was just like, might as well break the fourth wall a little bit and be like, hey, yeah, I did it. But a lot of people, like, you could just look at the people's faces and you could tell that they knew what was going to happen, but they still had that little bit of hope to hold on to.
Yeah.
Maybe Marco is actually the guy and he's going to give Brett his first loss.
Mm-hmm.
He put up a fight, little dude, like, he busted my mouth open somehow. And I still don't know how, and neither does he, because, like, he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Cause he, going into it, man, he thought he was asking everybody. He was like, so is Brett going to kill me? How is he in the ring? So, I mean, he asked Jesse of all people, and Jesse's just like, no, he's good, man. Like, you're going to feel it, but, like, he's not going to murder you. And then Marco tells me I'm one of the smoothest guys he's ever worked. So God, that was a big compliment for me.
God, if the whole Johnny Cash thing was right, I really hope you didn't text Marco the day before his GCW match in Los Angeles and say, break a leg.
No, I didn't. Not at all, man.
That's something
I was sitting in the living room. I was sitting in the living room with my girl, and she just saw me fucking get upset, and she's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I didn't even see that Marco had got hurt. I saw the reaction of people of the video.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Marco's hurt. Marco's fucking hurt. And then it came out that he was hurt. And I was like, God damn it.
I didn't kind of see. Go ahead.
You see your friends just succeed, man. And then that happens. And it's just like, fuck.
Yeah. Definitely wishing him all the best. But when that did go down, like when I was thinking about it days later, I'm like, I really hope no one texts him break a leg.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be the worst irony in the world.
Definitely would.
All right.
He'll come back, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited for. I think maybe he got to give everybody a really huge taste of what he was like, but the accident happened to where now people are now going to want to see more of him. So it's like he's not going to be just a flash in the pan where, yeah, here I am, and then I fade out and go back to obscurity. But, I mean, he has a lot of talent. Like, I'm a huge fan, but I just figure how what could have happened. But now this has happened, so when he comes back, it's going to be, you know, 2.0.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I don't want him to be hurt at all, but, like, I think it slows down this process than what, like you just said, he could have rose so quick and then fizzled out because you know how wrestling is, man. Like, mm-hmm. You could be somebody's favorite 1 week, then 2 days later, you're pure trash because somebody else comes up.
Yeah. I've had the worst luck on seeing him live. He was scheduled in Cleveland for the welterweight wrestling. He had to cancel from that for SUP, which was when he won the title. So I understand. I made secret plans to go to PWF because he was going to be there. You were going to be there. Koo was going to be there. I was going to schedule everything for the interview. Also, like, Slade Porter was there. AIW guys were there. And I was like, all right, this is like a cool way of AIW meets SUP, like a good show that I can go to and just have some fun. Happens to cancel there for MLW. I totally understand. Bigger booking. Fine.
No, yeah.
He was scheduled for Unsanctioned Pro in Columbus, Ohio. Obviously not showing up to that because of the injury and going to SUP in January. I don't know if he's going to be able to just like show up, but I'm not putting money down on it. So that's like four shows that I've missed. And he was a dude I fell in love with because of SUP. Just watching him on there. And the funny thing is, which I don't remember if I've told on here yet, but recently when I seen KTB and I was wearing my Marco Stunt fanny pack, I showed it to him and he's like, yeah, you bought that because of me. And I'm like, I bought it before you. Like, I bought it because of what I seen him on SUP. So love you. I'm like, I love you, dude, but I've been more Marco before that. All right, and question number six, which I always tailor around the guest. And for you, you're a big Tupac fan, so what is your favorite? You got to pick one Tupac album.
All Eyes on Me.
That's a very big coincidence with you.
Yeah.
That you won the title.
The first album I actually got a hold of, my dad had, and it was the Greatest Hits album.
Yeah.
And it had Changes on it. And Changes is my favorite Tupac song.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I became a fan right as he died, like right towards the tail end of his life is when I became a fan.
Yeah.
So just being young.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Like Changes was when I first got into him. But then like every new song that they'd have for albums coming out after that, I became fan of. Like, the song that I like a little bit more than Changes is the original version of Until the End of Time. I think that's that's almost like Changes 2.0. And it's I don't look at it like, well, it's just the same thing. It has a different tone, but I feel like it's just that realist Tupac not getting the thug shit, but he's just speaking to you.
Oh, yeah, just truth, yeah. I like Thug's Mansion, the acoustic version, a lot.
Both versions of that. Like, that's another one. That, like, the original version, or the original release version, has its own tone, but that acoustic brings it down, and it's that like chill record that you could just listen to and relax.
Oh yeah.
I think for me, my favorite, and if you want to count it as a Tupac album, but technically it is, that's the other thing that I'll get into, but the Machiavelli album. I think with him, I think he would have went the wrestling way, like the whole kayfabe thing. I think if Tupac would have lived, he would have been just, no, like, I'm Tupac. Like, Machiavelli's another dude. Like, that was a good album, but, you know, I'm Tupac. Like,
right.
I think he would have went with it, and it's that kind of dedication that I loved and I wish we would have got to see more of.
went way too soon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
All right. That'll do it for us. Any final thoughts or last-minute plugs before we go?
No. I mean, if you guys want to check me out on social media, facebook.com/pitbullbretteisen is my fan page. Do not add my personal page because you will sit in friend purgatory forever. I will not add you unless we speak and we become friends.
I'm thankful to be
Twitter
lucky.
Do what?
I'm thankful to be lucky then.
Yes, you are. On Twitter and Instagram, it's IronElbow88. I have a YouTube channel as well. Just type in Brett Eisen, it'll pop up. Then SobrosShop.com, go to Brett Eisen. You can get my Street Justice shirt, which Justin can attest to. They get it out to you in great amount of time. It's flat shipping rate, and support Sobros as well.
Yes. I've been putting it off wearing it because I do like a shirt a day, and I haven't repeated many shirts, and I think I'm already at like 300, and like I think today would be 304, and I've been waiting for the perfect time. Like I was gonna wear it while I'm interviewing you, haven't really changed out of like my pajamas, but that will be my shirt of the day. They did a fantastic job. The thing that I love, maybe it's just because I've interacted with Sobros. They sent me the Sobros beer koozie for free, but if you want it now, it's just an extra dollar on top of it to support the dudes. And they threw in some extra stickers and even a handwritten note on the receipt. And that's something that I don't know if everybody gets, but with my interaction with them, they are great dudes. And even though I'm not from the Tennessee area, it's something that I will so heartily support. They're on the, which we'll get to here shortly. Like I have a list of, you know, people that I shout out, and I always shout out Sobros Network. They're a bunch of great dudes. Love them all.
No, yeah.
Is that it for your plugs?
Yeah. I mean, obviously check out Kick Out at 2 when they put up new stuff. I don't know if you've ever listened to I've Got Your Five Stars,
mm-hmm. I've heard
but
that one.
He's a big Sup supporter. So, I mean, obviously check out Powerbomb with Sup and with everything else that's on there. I mean, what is it, $9.99 or $10 flat?
$10
I mean,
flat
a good deal.
20-day free trial.
Yeah. So Sup Graps, use that promo code.
All right. And for us? You can find, myself, Heavyset. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Heavyset330. You can find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose to desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. Got the merch store over at WhatAManeuver.net. And please, like I said before, rate and review and subscribe to wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. Check out all our friends at the Trending Topics Network, such as All Beer Inside, Eurovision Showcase, and Chill and Old School at the Movies. And then check out our podcast friends, such as Pod Van Dam, Center Stage, Super Fantastic Podcast, The Road Home from Wrestling, The Dave Dynasty Show, Kick Out at 2, The IndieCast, The Sobros Network, and The Big Gold Belt Podcast. And check out our other non-podcasting friends, such as Thrift Store Jobber, Rebel Life Media, The Savage Dash, Set Tab Photo, powerslam.tv, not to be confused with powerbomb.tv, but if you go to powerslam.tv and use promo code WrestlingCheers, all one word, you get one free month. First time I've ever plugged that. Ringside Shots Photography, Sickening Pictures, Russell Void, NEO Sports Insiders, Midwest Territory, and the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, Moy Boy Designs. That will do it for us here on Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, even if you are the man that killed Johnny Cash. Later.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're only glad you came.
You're a fake liar, I say, Rosario.